You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. It's like, I know what the problem's with me, that when I saw this, I was like, okay, well, 20th century woman, let's be, you know, girls, I guess, or something like that. I don't know. It's a study of all these ladies today. It didn't occur to me that 20th century means like 16 years ago plus.
That's true. Yeah.
Because it's the same thing with 20th Century Fox, which I'm always like, guys, 21st Century Fox.
Yeah.
Weird little anal retentive things like that. Yet my mind, because everyone refuses to update to the 21st century with everything, I'm like, so this is, where's the cell phones?
Not me. I've been a 21st century boy since T-Rex.
Well, fair enough.
Yes. Also, I was excited about this movie because I get to say Bildungsroman.
Damn it. You took one of my favorite film terms.
Bildungsroman!
Which means
better than an ordinary Roman.
Which means coming of age story.
Yes,
in case you haven't
for everybody,
that,
really.
Along the way.
Essentially,
yeah. This is set in 1979, based on the real life experiences of Mike, director and writer Mike Mills, who he said his previous film Beginners with Christopher Plummer, which was a story about this guy's father coming out when he was 75, was based on the, you know, his relationship with his father. That had apparently really happened.
And that really happened to him, but before he quit drumming for R.E.M. Oh, wait.
Wait, no. You confused me for a minute. I was like,
that's a different Mike Mills.
That's a different Mike Mills.
I was really when I first saw that movie, I was like, ooh, cool. No. Oh, well.
Well, it's
I love it when people can multitask.
It's like people sending me emails going, dude, what is up with your Bikers for Trump thing? And I'm like, no, that's a
like,
different.
Dude, I am the guy in the voice cast for Family Guy.
This is based on his mom, who is played here by Annette Bening. This is 1979, Santa Barbara, California. Annette Bening is the matriarch. Feels like the wrong word.
No, that's absolutely right.
Technically true, but it's so much more of a collaborative.
I mean, she's a hippy dippy doo, but she's definitely the like. You know, she's the tent pole in the tent.
Yeah, she's the...
Because she isn't a conventional family.
No, she owns the house. She's a single mom. She has one kid, Julian, who is just starting to become a man. He's like 13 years old or so,
yes.
I guess. And she's concerned about...
This movie is weird for me because it's like one of the first movies I've seen that it's like... This is a look back at a coming of age story in the past that you know could actually happen to me.
Yeah, you would have been like, about the right age.
Wait, no, this isn't happening in the 1940s.
And she's concerned because she feels like he doesn't have any sort of like male role model at all. So
I mean, she kind of like she has this kind of, you know, like this guy who's he's a little too. Young to have been a full-on hippie, but he's definitely, you know, like the type that followed the dead and all that. And he's living there, but there's no, you know, her son and that guy don't really have, you know, chemistry as far as
Billy Crudup.
Yeah.
Him. She has more chemistry with him than her son. Does.
Yes, quite literally.
But so she turns to, which is seems like an odd decision, but what the hell, to two women that are in his life, Greta Gerwig, who's also another renter in this house, who is a photographer who is coming from a bad background of cancer.
Well, she was an art student in New York and... kind of going along the, you know, this is the late 70s, so she was in that kind of nascent punk scene. And then she's diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Like, once that happened, all of her friends kind of went, oh, wow, bummer, and kind of away from
still
her.
Still stigma, catch cancer.
Because you can catch cancer from a friend who has cancer.
What?
As is well known.
If that was true, the entire Leog would have had cancer.
Exactly. So she reloads to the West Coast, and she's very much, you know, kind of a surrogate daughter to Annette Bening's character in this.
As well, there's Ellie Fanning, who doesn't live in the house. She's a neighbor girl named Julie.
I think it's just Elle.
Is it just Elle? Okay,
yes.
Sorry.
As in the French for...
But wouldn't
for
you want to be
Isabelle
in that house,
Coupe.
Though? Oh, God. What's her own mother's house, though?
With I what mean, now?
Wouldn't you want to be... go if you lived with her mother...
Yeah.
You know, the psychiatrist who makes you go to her own group meetings. Group meetings. I mean, wouldn't you want to escape to Annette Bening's house?
Well, yeah. And she's regularly sneaking out and then sneaking in through the window to poor Jamie and basically just, like, and I hate to say the term, but she is really friend-zoning the hell out of him.
Well, she's using.
Better than using.
Yeah, I mean, and she's at this weird space where she's, you know, being found to be sexually desired by other guys in you know, that she goes to school with, that hang around the neighborhood. But their interest is entirely sexual, mm-hmm. and so, you know, as soon as they kind of all hit it and quit it, whereas Jamie, she's kind of keeping this, like, you know, it's the old story. It's like, well, this guy really respects me, and I'm not going to fuck it up by sleeping with him.
Yeah, and you know, which would be fine if it wasn't for the fact she's constantly sneaking into his bed at night,
right,
and wrapping herself up, sleeping
yeah,
in
which
together.
Is,
yeah.
Girls, don't, if you're doing that, if you're a teenage girl and you're listening to this,
don't do that.
But don't do that.
It is fine to be very close with another boy. Yeah. But you probably shouldn't if he's clearly interested in you.
As a rule of thumb, I don't care what age you are, don't get into bed with a guy unless you're willing to have sex with him.
Unless a conversation has been had ahead
yes.
of time about yeah. said matters. Anyway, she's,
and not even then.
She's kind of driving poor Jamie crazy, who really wants to be the good kid. He wants to be very respectful towards women. He's raised in a hippie house.
Well, yeah, and when Annette Bening is like, well, you know, if I can't have, you know, a guy influence, well, maybe I can have these two women that are in his life run interference
yeah.
for me. Mm-hmm. And as Elle Fanning's character is, she's kind of a nascent feminist. She's, you know, reading all of that first wave feminist literature.
Gloria Steinem and
Gloria Steinem and what have you. And she's kind of, and Greta Gerwig is kind of right there with her as far as, you know, how they view you know, themselves as women. And so they're kind of like, they're laying in, you know, stuff that most teenage boys at this time aren't getting, you know, like what a clitoris is and, yeah. you know, how to approach women respectfully and not lie and get them into bed.
Yeah. Jamie actually gets into a fight with another kid at school over what clitoral stimulation is.
Right.
You're like, wow.
Yeah. And man, that hit the nail on the head for me. Cause my sex ed was, you know, I had, you know, a really shitty class in high school health class, as we all did, hopefully.
Yeah.
But, you know, my basic sexual education was my mom had a copy of Our Bodies Ourselves, and I read yeah. that, and I was like, yeah. oh, girls like sex too. That's, didn't know that.
My mom had that, but instead I read The Joy of Sex, which they also had.
My class just had, you know, these are the diseases. That's what you can, you know, put on so you don't yeah. get diseases, and that's it.
Yeah, mine was a high school basketball coach. Shuddering to himself as he explained AIDS that apparently only gay guys got.
I don't think our school even approached it, but like, my mom and dad just kind of came in my room. Here's a book. Bye.
There go. Right. Yeah. No.
Just throw it in there right out the door.
Yeah.
I'm like, and you know, man, I kind of feel sorry for people raising kids in this generation because it's just like, dude, if I had the access to pornography that's available now, I would just be a withered husk.
that is true. We had to rely on hoping we found a treehouse out in the woods
yep.
with a water-damaged Playboy.
Oh, gosh. My generation just relied on Cinemax, basically.
Yeah, well, you had that whole thing where you kind of turn your head sideways, you can see a boob.
Yeah,
I was lucky. My scrambled Cinemax came in almost crystal clear, so I was like, "Oh, thank God for the Emmanuel." Movies.
Yeah, it was just barely scrambled back then. It was
yeah.
like it was just kind of bent into a little S shape.
Mine
around.
Was yeah, mine was just a little fuzzy. Yeah. If you'll forgive the implication.
So anyway,
things were a lot fuzzier back in the
80s. In a lot of ways, in a lot of ways,
in many ways.
It was, you ever go into your favorite porn browser and type vintage?
Oh, God. That's just all kinds of depressing right there.
Sometimes you need a machete to get down there.
So I think what makes this work is that it's not really a nostalgia film in the way a lot of films are.
No, not at all. No. Because I don't think it's – there's no, hey, remember how great the late 70s are in this? Because they weren't. They sucked.
Yeah. I think, you know, I love that he put it in 79 because I love that it's between the decades.
Yeah.
It's the shift that makes it interesting.
Everybody in this movie is very much in between something.
Yes, exactly. They were either born in the in-between or they're coming of age in the in-between.
You know, Annette Bening is, she's, you know, kind of... She's not really looking for a man, but she's not looking for a man. There's like, you know, this vagueness there, where she's, you know, she kind of gets into these half-hearted relationships and then, you know, bounds out of them.
And as well, she's learned because of her desire to, like, make her kid grow up right. She's having to confront what these kids, what they're into these days, what's going on, you know, as well as that she's getting from the rest of her housemates as well. And that for her is a major like sea change where she's like, wait, what? Like she gets brought to a punk show and she has no idea what to make of that. Like she says about Black Flag at one point, she hears them and goes, they know they're bad, right?
They know they're bad. Yes, they do.
But she's also, you know, sort of because she has her son, she has, you know, these housemates. She's also looking at herself, okay, well, now, well, I'm entering the stage of life now. So what do I want from it? What does it make me now? And, you know, that's really... bulk of her journey.
And Elle Fanning's, and you know, very much the not still kind of a girl, not quite a woman.
Yeah,
she's got some great self awareness though.
Yeah, and everybody in this movie, I think, has a lot of self awareness, and that's one of the things I really like about it. Is everybody in this movie seems very real,
totally real.
They're very fully realized.
Their relationships and their conversations don't ever fall onto a sort of this is the way that Hollywood characters respond to each other.
Absolutely not.
You know, these all feel all too even like squirm worthy.
Yeah.
Normal and natural.
Yeah. Cause everybody, you know, nobody's an angel here. Nobody's a devil. They fuck up. They do cool things.
They're genuinely complex.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is they all mean well. They all want to be better people.
And there's, you know, I love kind of the ending of this movie, which kind of does the 6 feet under thing, or if you want to get more romantic, the La La Land thing, without the In Night Shyamalan twist. But, at the end, you know that those characters will look back upon this particular time as a good time in their lives. Mm.
It's a snapshot sort of film of this time and place with these specific people at this time and place in their lives.
Bildungsroman!
And once again, like, not for the purpose of being nostalgic about it, even though he does, and one of the most criticized things I've seen about this film is his use during some transitional scenes of, like, a psychedelic filter over the camera, where they'll be, like, on road trips, and it'll be playing psychedelic music, and it'll have, like, loopy, like, right out of us exploitation film from this period of time type filter overlaying it. But it kind of, it fits the scenes where it's in because it actually fits what's going on in the story too.
Sure.
It never is like, whoa, it never, even like Almost Famous is so drenched in nostalgia. You never really feel
that. And I mean,
the
late 70s were this, you know, as someone who was there, they were kind of a weird time because that hippie aesthetic was starting to kind of give way to this kind of slicker 80s punker harder edge feel. And you really kind of get both of those in this movie, like, you know, melded together.
Well, keep going to your final thoughts.
I really enjoyed this movie. I love coming of age films.
What are they called?
Bildungsroman. I think this is one of the better ones in a long time. I mean, I think it's even right up there with Boyhood, which is, you know, kind of the ultimate Bildungsroman. In that it really feels like it cares about its characters. It takes them seriously. And it offers you this, you know, these very real complicated people, that you come to appreciate and care for. I easily give this, 8.5, graffitied Black Flag logos.
Right.
I loved pretty much everything about this movie. I love the characters. I thought they were so well written. There's not a cliche to be found here. This is such a great script, too. It has so many great lines. You really want to watch this a second, maybe third time, just to soak up so many of the musings he puts here. And there's one of my favorite lines probably of the year was when Annette Bening says, you know, wondering if you're happy is just a great shortcut to just being depressed. You know, I think it's a very smart script, and it's a really, really great look at you know, a decade when everyone was shifting, everything was shifting, and, you know, these particular characters were shifting as well. And I loved the locale. I think the Southern California, you know, setting. I think it was the only appropriate type setting for this film. It really spoke.
Yeah, this isn't it's not a New York type movie. It's not a Midwest type of movie.
No. Yeah, absolutely. So it just gave it such a grace and, you know, a pensiveness, and I loved it from start to finish. I loved all of it. I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 photographs of my personal possessions.
Yeah, I really loved this as well. This is not a film I walked into expecting to be one of my very top of the year, and yet there it is. It's filled with very realistic and very likable, despite all their many flaws, characters who honestly are completely identifiable even today. Yeah. I know people like this, every character in this right now.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like the same things they were going through then, we're always going through some stages of something like that. It's circular, cyclical, mm-hmm. you know, and, everybody does such a great performance here across the board. And some of them are kind of really daring performances. Elle Fanning in particular having a great year as an actress.
Yeah, she's really coming into stuff.
Take
that, Dakota.
This is one of her most interesting of all those performances for sure.
Yeah, no, I liked her in this more than and Annette Bening is just that woman is a treasure. I mean, she's like right up there with Streep as far as I'm concerned, as far as acting. Shots.
Oh yeah, and
she knocks it out.
Definitely her big reminder that she's that good.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, do I have to refer you back to American Beauty?
Yeah,
you know, you like just to go how great this woman really is, but maybe doesn't appear in as many high profile things.
Lot of the reasons that I think you don't see as much of her is they don't write enough roles for women of that age. And she has, you know, Annette Bening looks good, but she looks her age, and that's, you know, it's unfortunate that more people don't write more stuff for
her. True.
It's also whatever she responds to. And, you know, looking at her projects, it's a specific type of actress that's drawn to those types of roles.
The shame is
her last movie, the Kids Are All Right. Which is mm-hmm. wonderful, and it has a lot in common with this
it
movie.
It does, absolutely. Very good connection, I think, between those two. Obviously, the type of film that appeals to her. Unfortunately, this is not going to be her year at the Oscars, as it seems clear, which is a shame because she really does deserve it. This is a great performance in this film.
Yeah.
She is definitely the pole right in the center of this film that keeps it all together. Mm. She is the most fascinating of all these people, and she's just this massive contradictions in a very human and understandable sort of way.
Watching her dancing with Billy Crudup in that scene, just watching how like lovely and, you know, just free-spirited she is. Oh, that's so great.
I give this 9 out of 10 uncomfortably furry water-damaged centerfolds. Because, I do remember that was funny. Every time I have that conversation about, you know, the treehouse out in the woods that you'd find an old Playboy, everybody from our age group had that experience.
Oh, yeah, no. It was like,
how is that possible?
Apparently, that's what Sasquatches do. They just leave fling pornography throughout the forests of North America.